Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and it's time for another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. And this week we're looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and the initials RIP. What does it mean to rest in peace? Without further ado, from the English Standard Version, our text reads, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Exactly 6 months from today, the whole world will celebrate again one of the greatest days in human history, certainly the greatest day of the last century. On the 1st of September, we'll reach the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II, from 1945. In other words, peace at last. Of course, there are many dead. Hundreds of thousands are buried in Europe or in the Pacific in cemeteries marked by rows and rows of white crosses. It used to be that many such grace markers bore the initials RIP, Requiescat in Pace. You know the English, rest in peace. Words written and spoken of the dead, those resting in the grave until the day of resurrection. But is that peace? Is it peaceful to be lying in the ground? Now, I don't mean to say that those who die in the Lord are not in peace, but to focus a moment on the actual state in which they are in, before the coming of Christ. There is actually this period of waiting. Again, though for them it is in the blink of an eye, you and I can still go to grave sites and see people who have been waiting for centuries for this moment of fulfillment, this day of resurrection. What you and I see happening around us is very real, and we are not at peace. So the question to ponder is, whether dead or alive, how can we be at peace? Well, to put this into context, let's look at Paul's words, where he lays the case before us that we were among the dead, dead in our trespasses and our sins, that is. Twice Paul states that apart from Jesus, we have no hope and can expect only eternal death, no resting in peace for you and me. In chapter 2, Paul announces, "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law." Verse 12. And again, Paul teaches us that there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in the third chapter of Romans, verses 22 to 23. The result of both is death. Now, if Paul is talking about the living here, what chance do the dead have? Paul then continues by describing how desperate we were. And do please note that this is put in the past tense on purpose. We were still weak, verse 6. There is never a good time to be weak. Weak in sin, weak in mortal fortitude, weak in faith. However, that pretty much described you and me. Paul goes on to say, we were still sinners, verse 8. We know that's true, and we should remember that, lest we become proud and fall back to where we were, ironically becoming weak again, thinking it is we who are strong, and not standing alone in the strength of Christ. And this is the difference. Yes, we were weak. Paul is right to say that is past tense. But the moment we begin to think that we have somehow evolved into a greater being and untouchable saints, say, then that weakness can become very present once again. Just so we're clear on who we were, Paul really gets descriptive and says not only were we weak, but we were enemies of God. Enemies. We may be tempted to deny that we were ever enemies, for look how we serve God now. But we should never hide from our past, because that is what keeps the present real. Look at Paul. If anyone was an enemy of God, he was, right? And God calls him on it right away, on the road to Damascus. Why are you persecuting me? Acts 9:4. This is why it was never in himself that he would boast, and he of course tells you and me to be the same way. If you must boast, boast in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. But to be clear, because we were once upon a time enemies of the Lord, it's never that obvious to us. That's why we are, of course, hesitant to admit it. Did the crowds at the trial before the crucifixion of Jesus truly know what they were doing when they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," Matthew 27, verses 22 to 23? For make no mistake, there was certainly a time when we were enemies of God. And even now, in times of weakness, it is accurate then to call us enemies of God. The devil, the world, and our own flesh cause us to be his enemy. Think about how much of a fuss we make over remembering our world wars. Why? Because it's important. We should remember the horrible things our nature is capable of, because that's exactly who we are and what we need to be saved from. And if we thought that was monumental, the whole world truly is at war with God. In other words, there is a world war still going on today. It's been going on since the fall. We're not just buddies who occasionally step on each other's toes. We're not allies who occasionally disagree about foreign policy. We're not neutral nations who may not totally be on board but are generally sympathetic to the cause for justice. Since the fall, we have been outright enemies of God. Why? Because every one of our sins puts us in war with him. To put it simply, there is a real problem between the complete holiness of God and the sinfulness of our flesh, our thoughts and our deeds, our words. Our sins mean war. Even our indifference isn't neutrality, it's opposition. Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. Matthew 12:30. Enemies of God, there is no resting in peace for us. But, while we were still sinners, while we were still weak, while we were still at war with God, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 6. And because Jesus is risen from the dead, he has promised us a resurrection day. And for many of us, he has fulfilled his promise by giving us life and salvation, his redemption, as he's baptized us into his name. Every single one of us who have been baptized into his name has already died with him and risen according to his promise. If we should ever have reason to have peace, that's it. Yes, though we, the human race, is at war with God, his Son, Jesus Christ, comes to earth to fight on our side. He sweats blood and stumbles with his cross up Mount Calvary. Weak as his hands seem to be at that moment, he carries this burden all the way to the top. He's lifted up and slain, with his blood naturally brushed across the beam of the cross. Yes, the Lamb of God has sacrificed himself for the world, so that the world would no longer have to be at war with God. But there is this time of waiting, isn't there? There's this time of the world still being at war with God, but for those who believe, we're not at war. That's why those who lie in the grave are both R.I.P., but not quite at peace. How can they be, when there are still so many at war with God? Of course, if they believed, they still have the same peace which you and I have, as we are alive and we take our peace to our grave with us as we do have it today. Or shall we say that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? It was the very first verse. That is ours now. Being justified by God through Jesus means the law has been completely fulfilled by Him for you. Peace with God means the Lord Jesus Christ has already taken away the discord of our sin, silencing the disruption of our disobedience, because in the light of what Christ has done for us, it gives this sort of deafening effect to everything else around it. Not that God is deaf to or ignores our sin now, but that He takes what Christ has done for us and listens to Him as He now mediates on our behalf to His Father. And so now, by the grace of God, we look to the cross of Jesus, and considering our own death and that one day we too shall be waiting for the day of resurrection, lying 9 feet under the ground, we too can rest somewhat peacefully. We can rest assured that we have already died once in Jesus, again Romans 6, 1-6, that His death is our death, and that also His resurrection is our resurrection. That even now, while we suffer in this life, we have this guarantee of everlasting life with Him. We can think about the fact that when Jesus was laid in the grave, it was but a borrowed tomb. We can find comfort in the knowledge that Jesus knows what it's like to rest in peace, completely, perfectly, quietly, and essentially resting in peace for you. That's the good news. As a sort of side, as I've had the experience quite recently, when a redeemed person of God is dying, and if it's possible for you to be present, these final words from a familiar hymn may also be sung. Lord, let at last thine angels come, to Abram's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep, until thy reappearing. From the Lutheran Service Book, hymn 708. My body safe in peaceful sleep. Finally, you will have rest from your unjustified, indefensible sins, your weakness in sinning and disbelief, being called straightforward a sinner without compare, struggling with the animosity toward God only an enemy can have, all because the resurrection of the body is also yours, in faith, and the life everlasting, as we confess in the Creed. Those words are filled with hope and are worth inscribing in faith on a tombstone. Yes, even yours, because quite frankly, I don't want to stay in the ground, albeit resting in peace forever. Do you? If possible, I will have it say, I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. Amen. Whatever may mark your grave, or wherever you are buried, whether your headstone is polished marble or you have a weathered piece of wood, unless your lives have been marked with the cross of Jesus, we shall surely not rest in peace. But thanks be to God for Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we may celebrate, for He has ended the world war. R.I.P. Rejoice in the peace of Jesus, dear children of God. Fear not. And rest in His peace, in His name and for His sake. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Every Sunday we have Lutheran Study at 9:45, where we delve into the traditions of the Lutheran Church, and then we have our Divine Service at 11. All are welcome. As for next week in Faith That Functions, for our lesson we will be looking at the second chapter of the Gospel according to John, and how by knowing all people, Jesus can heal all people. So stay tuned, and I'll speak to you again soon on Lutheran Radio UK for another episode of the series Faith That Functions. In the meantime, God's peace be with you now and always.